CBS Radio brings you The Couple Next Door, written by Peg Lynch and starring Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce.
Well, here we are, home again.
Oh, Michael, it's nice to take a trip, but it's even nicer to get home.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the back seat, honey. Isn't that darling? Mm. Both the children sound asleep, and they look sweet. Betsy, Bobby, we're home, darling.
Honey, no, don't wake them. Don't wake them. Huh? Let's get the suitcases in the house first, huh?
Yeah, I guess that's a good idea.
Oh, boy, I sure had enough of family weddings and family reunions to last me for a long time. You go on, will you? Get the front door unlocked.
Yeah. Honey, dear. Huh? The man standing up there at the front door.
What?
Looking at
the man. Oh, yes. Yes, you looking for us?
Are you the Wainwright?
No,
I'm afraid you've got the wrong house.
Well, do you happen to know where the Wainwrights live?
Wainwrights? No, they're not around here. Do you hear?
Wainwright? No, afraid not. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess they gave me the wrong address. Thanks anyway.
Well, would you like to come in the house and look in the phone book?
Oh, no, thanks. I'll check when I get back to the plant. Thanks anyway. Good evening.
Yes.
Okay, good evening. Look, get the door unlocked, will you? I'll start bringing in the suitcases.
All right, dear. I'm trying to find my keys, as usual. Mess in my purse. Let's see. Bubble gum, lollipop sticks. Oh, here we are. Ah, that's funny. My key doesn't work. Doesn't turn at all.
Oh, well, you probably got the wrong key.
No, I haven't. This is certainly the right key. What? For heaven's sake, the door wasn't locked.
What do you mean the door wasn't locked? Go on, get in, will you? These suitcases are heavy.
When we left Friday, the last thing I said to you was, did you lock the front door?
At least get out of my way, please.
And you said, yes. You locked it. You swore and
all right, all right. Well, the house is still here anyhow, so don't start worrying now. Let's get the car unloaded, then cart the kids upstairs to bed.
Well, it certainly gives me a funny feeling, leaving the house unlocked for 3 days. Did Bobby to bed all right?
Oh, yeah, sure. He didn't even wake up.
Neither did Betsy. Oh, she woke up when I tried to pull her dress off. You know, she went right back to sleep.
I'm so tired. Well, let's get back down, shall we? Fix ourselves some coffee.
Oh, yeah. I think I'll unpack in the morning. Yeah. I certainly don't understand that front door being left open. I remember saying to you, did you lock the front door? And you said, oh, yes, you locked it.
No, I didn't. Well, I remember distinctly that I said, I'm going out the back way and get the car. You go in the front, go out the front way and lock the door. But
I didn't.
Well, I got to get the stair carpet tacked down right here.
Yes.
Breaks a leg one of these days.
Well, I didn't go out the front way. I went out the back door. I remember because Bobby had a banana, and I didn't want to leave the banana skin, so I wrapped it up and took it out the garbage. That's how I remember.
We stopped at the mailbox on the way in, picked up the mail. Now, what do we do, leave it in the car?
No, I brought it in there. It is on the hall table.
Oh.
Under my purse, too.
All right.
All the newspapers and everything. Even when we stopped because the children were thirsty in that funny little roadside cafe, I said to you, are you sure you locked the door? And you said to me, dear,
as usual. Look, honey, we'd gone 50 miles by then. I wasn't coming back to see if the doors were locked. You always worry so.
Well, apparently I was right to worry. The front door wasn't locked, dear. Anybody could have come right in and walked off with a plate.
Well, it seems to be still here. Now, look, stop worrying, will you? For heaven's sake.
Yes, I guess so. Oh, it's good to be home, isn't it? Funny. Looks smaller. Why is it even when you're gone a short time, you get home and your ceilings sing lower than you thought they were?
Yeah, I don't know. Come on, let's go out the kitchen and fix some coffee, huh?
Mm.
What's the matter?
Why is that sofa pillow in the middle of the living room floor?
Huh? Oh, honey, I suppose in a rush to get away, it got knocked off.
No. Mrs. Tenney came to clean last Saturday when we were gone. She'd have picked it up before she left. Why, she didn't clean this ashtray. Isn't that funny? Why, it isn't even the kind of cigarette that you smoke.
Huh?
It isn't this kind of cigarette you
smoke. Yeah, it's hardly smoked. In fact, looks as though it had just been lit and then mashed out in a hurry. Does Mrs. Tenney smoke?
No.
Could she have left the front door unlocked?
No, she only has a key to the back door anyhow. I mean, it just... Silver! Earth Silver! Oh, my heavens! Now, if anything has happened all right, to
now,
my beautiful...
No, don't get excited, for Pete's sake. I'm sure there's some logical explanation...
It's gone.
What?
It's gone. Come here. Our chest of silver is not in the buffet. It's gone.
All right. Now, take it easy. My golly, you're right. It's gone.
Call the police.
Yeah. Right away.
And you say... This cigarette stub you found in the ashtray is not the brand of cigarette you smoke, Mr. Piper.
No, that's right. It isn't.
I see. Uh-huh. Now, exactly what was taken? I'll make a list.
Well, all of us...
No. Take it easy, honey. Take it easy.
All our silverware. We had the white hyacinth pattern with luncheon-sized knives. They're just beautiful, officer. Flowers sort of drooped down and circled around the handle.
One set of silver.
Lovely. And then in the chest, it was a big one, was also a service for eight that belonged to my grandmother. Lily of the Valley pattern. Perfectly beautiful. Lilies of the Valley on the end, and then the leaves climbed up and sort of formed the stem, you know.
Two sets of silver.
Like this. And there was half a dozen little coffee spoons. The spoon part was like the petals of a flower. It was
half a dozen coffee spoons.
My jewel box was taken from my dresser. That had my ruby ring that my husband gave me. A beautiful ruby with diamond, little diamond on each side on a filigree that sort of curled around.
One ruby ring with two small diamonds.
Well, the diamonds weren't that small.
Well,
my pearls are missing.
Real or cultured?
Well,
cultured.
Well, they're pearls.
Well, they're pearls.
Man explained it to me. They put a little grain of sand in the oysters at the bottom of the ocean, and then they have pearls.
Well, honey, the detective just wants a lift here. Oh, and my portable typewriter's gone, too.
Portable typewriter.
Burger made himself coffee, apparently. Didn't do up the dishes. Oh, he also took a pillowcase off one of the beds upstairs, and that made me so mad when I found it. I always make beds up fresh when we go away because, you know, you're so tired when you get home from a trip. I mean, you don't feel like making up
honey,
a bed, you know.
Well,
it was one of my new Percale pillowcases. I just bought it in the January white sales. It was 200 thread. It was the nicest Percale. One I just bought. You know how your towels and sheets all seem to go at once, so... I went downtown.
Honey, Inspector Doyle isn't interested in...
On the contrary, it explains how he carried off the loot. They don't bring a suitcase. They often take a pillowcase off the bed. They don't like to. Naturally, they can be spotted easier carrying a white pillowcase.
Dear!
Yes.
We saw him.
Yes.
When we came home,
by golly, there was a man at the door carrying something.
I'll bet it was a white pillowcase filled with something.
Yeah, but he asked where somebody lived.
Yes, Helbright. Helbright.
No. Name wasn't Helbright. Cartwright.
No. It couldn't have been Cartwright.
Yes.
I'm sure he said Helbright, dear.
He couldn't have said Helbright. We know where they live. We're over here on Maple, where we'd have told him. I'm sure he was looking for the Cartwrights.
Well, if he was looking for the Cartwrights, he'd have had to take a train to Arizona to find them. They'd moved to Arizona.
What?
You knew that, dear. Bill had that terrible accident. Some fella ran into him, and they moved to Arizona to recuperate, and they loved it, so they just stayed. They bought a house, and Helen just loves Tucson. I guess Arizona's just lovely.
Yes, I'm sure it is, Mrs. Piper. Now, what about the other man?
Well, he wasn't hurt a bit. Bill Cartwright had the right-of-way, and this fellow just ran into him.
Inspector Doyle, what about the man we saw at the door?
Yes, please, if you will. What did he look like?
He was tall.
Short.
Short?
Tall? Well, he was short, rather stocky and dark hair.
Oh, he had light hair, dear. He was very blonde. I remember that expression. Light eyebrows and eyelashes. He was rather slight, and I think he had a mustache.
Well, he did not have a mustache, honey.
He had something on his face.
Glasses. Didn't he have glasses on? He had kind of a high voice.
High voice? I wouldn't say it was high. It was different and sort of strange. I certainly wouldn't call it a high voice.
May I ask how he was dressed?
A rather sleazy jacket.
Well, I'd say it was more like a short overcoat.
Well, did you notice the color of his eyes?
Blue.
Brown.
Oh, brown.
Well, look, it all happened so fast, Inspector Doyle. I mean, you know, we just drove up and here was this man.
Well, we'll do the best we can, Mr. Piper. Apparently, your burglar was a tall, short man with blue-brown eyes, glasses, and a blonde-black mustache and wearing an overcoat jacket.
Well, as I said, it all happened so fast.
I trust, Mr. Piper, you are covered by insurance.
Oh, yes, yes, thank heavens. Well, I certainly hope I'm covered by insurance. You asleep?
No.
Look, don't worry about the insurance. I know we're covered. I'll get in touch with Mr. Reed tomorrow.
I wasn't even thinking about the insurance. Anyhow, that doesn't replace the silver. It makes me just sick. We can replace our silver, but not my grandmother's pattern. They don't even make it anymore.
Yeah, I know, honey. Well, look, I'm sorry. Maybe it was my fault the front door was left unlocked.
Oh, look, as the detective or whatever he was said, if the burglar wants to get in, he'll break a window or something. Even a locked door isn't going to stop him. I wasn't blaming you. Maybe I left the door unlocked. I don't know. It doesn't matter much now.
Oh, listen, not a word about this to Betsy in the morning.
Oh, no, no. I was going to say that to you, too.
Well, look, we don't want to worry her, you know. Started thinking about burglars and all that.
No, I should say not. Goodness just gives me the willies to think that some strange man is prowling around our house.
Yeah.
Going through our things. I'm sure it was the man we saw, aren't you?
Oh, sure.
The door, you know, when we came in?
Well, he was sitting in the house when we drove up.
Yeah.
That's why he hastily mashed out his cigarette, and beat it out the front door.
Yes, yes.
Then in case we saw him, pretended that he had just arrived,
yes,
and, you know, was
yes.
looking for somebody.
To think we just stood and talked to him like that.
Yeah,
Think he'll come back?
Come back? Oh, no. He knows we've already described him to the police.
Yes. Some description. No wonder eyewitness accounts are always so conflicting. You and I couldn't even describe the same man.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Oh, well. I'll try and get some sleep, huh?
I'll sleep a wink, I know that. You're sure we have theft insurance? I thought it was just fire we had.
Oh, no, darling. Of course we have theft insurance, I'm saying. We must have. We've got insurance on everything, as far as I can figure out. Seems to me I do nothing but pay insurance bills. Of course, with my usual luck, it'll turn out that...
Now, dear, as Aunt Effie always says, don't trouble until trouble troubles you. As you said, let's try and get some sleep, huh?
I have a haunting recollection that insurance man tried to talk me into something, and I said, no, indeed, I've got to draw the line somewhere.
Oh, honey.
Oh, I just hope it wasn't theft insurance.
A disaster brings out the best in radio. When it's important to remain indoors during local disturbances, your radio station keeps you informed as to your safest course of action or inaction. During emergencies of national interest, your station's network fulfills the same function nationally. Together, the network local broadcast team serving you when you're tuned to a station affiliated with CBS Radio is your top combination for vital information fast, in fair weather or in foul. When you're tuned to a station affiliated with CBS Radio, you're not only getting the best local product on the air, you're also keeping up with the entertainment, news, and public affairs that deliver all you want and ought to hear. The Couple Next Door stars Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce.
This was an original old radio broadcast presented by Radio of Yesteryear. Carol Hawkins, thank you.